High Vibe Nation is live. Welcome to the High Vibe Nation, where we have set out to raise the vibration of every human being on the planet. Your hosts on this journey are Sherry Gideons. So let's join them now in their current interview with a high vibing individual.
Hello and welcome to High Vibe Nation, the number one positive media show focused on raising the vibe of the planet, a space for you to remember the power within you. It's a love revolution. I'm your host, Sherry Gideons, and today our special guest is Rashana Price, known as the Giver of Awesomeness. She's an author, coach, speaker, and radio personality. She's a fierce advocate for those who have experienced bullying. Her systematic and supportive approach to deep personal exploration helps individuals identify the source of hurt, recover from their trauma, and build confidence. Rashana has a passion for helping people understand why bullies come into their lives and the lessons learned when they leave. Her popular iHeartRadio show, Awesomeness in Action, is a powerful platform for people to share their personal stories of overcoming adversity and changing negativity to awesomeness. Rashana is a former senior director to talent acquisition, a part of the human resources department for the 15th largest public school system in the country. And her experiences have provided the opportunity to work with renowned leaders from various organizations all over the world. I want to welcome onto the show today the amazing Rashana Price.
Hello, hello.
So glad to have you. And this show is all about high vibe and amazing people just like you. So I always ask the question, what is high vibe to you?
High vibe is that vibration at the top. It is when you're doing the thing that you know you're called to do and time is flying by. That's that sense that you're in the high vibe. I like to call it awesomeness. Yeah. It's that you know this is what you're made to do and you're doing it.
I really love that because, you know, I really can relate to that a lot on a lot of levels because for a lot of years, you know, I tried to live my life by trying to prove my self-worth to others. And so, you know, when I really awakened to who I was and loved who I was, it's just bringing forth that energy and loving being yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. It's a beautiful thing when you can really fall in love with yourself and be like, this is exactly who I am. This is what I'm called to do. I'm good at it. And oh, by the way, for business owners, entrepreneurs, and you're going to pay me well for it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Ooh, and I like that too, because, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about a lot in this day and age is, you know, how, I mean, I came up during the 60s and the 70s. So the whole idea around feeling guilt and shame for wanting to be paid for what you're worth, for wanting to accumulate wealth, for what? Freedom of movement, to be able to do the things that you love so much.
Mm-hmm. Why not you? Like, why not? That's really the question. I also believe that there are people that are destined to be wealth distributors, and I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. So of course, money should flow to me and through me so that I can help other people. And there's no shame in that. That's a part of ministry. That's a part of the life that you leave and the legacy.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree. And I really love this topic that we're getting ready to discuss today because, you know, I've been really looking forward to hearing more about, you know, the negative impacts of adult bullying. And I mean, you really don't think about adult bullying, you know, like in the workplace or just a lot in general. You think of when you hear bullying, you think of young children in the school system. So yeah. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, adult bullying is something that I experienced personally and had to name it and claim it and say that this happened to me. It happened to me when I was in the big girl job with the title, with the office, with the team, this big salary. And I found myself within a matter of months going from being at the top of my professional career, respected, really feeling good, And then within a matter of months, I was sick. My blood pressure was like 150 over 80. I was having symptoms of anxiety and stress related to headaches and migraines, stomach aches, bowel issues. And literally my job was killing me. It was making me sick. My doctors were monitoring my blood pressure, all because I worked for someone that I like to classify as a minimizer. And minimizers are adult bullies that get joy out of making you feel small. And it's like a drug, it's a high. They come for you day in and day out because they see your gift and your talent, and they want to make you feel bad about it. And so I had to really, for me, I had to really understand what my boss was saying and doing to me that actually helped me do what I do now.
Wow. So what are the, just listening to this topic in the workforce, what are the bullying statistics? There's got to be a number, as far as more people bringing this forward now.
So some people bring it forward. So when we look at the statistics overall, about 60% of people say that they've experienced bullies. And at the executive level, about 75% of senior leaders have experienced adult bullying or bullying in the workplace. And about 40% just leave.
Wow.
So when you think about organizations and talent and what that looks like, there is a talent gap and a drain that is happening because talented people have choices. So talented people don't sit around and wait for the organization to figure out that the boss that they hired is now the bully. Talented people go and search for a new job and they leave. And then what happens is the talent that is left is less talented. And then over time, that erodes the confidence of the organization, of the people, and creates a sense of mediocrity that persists.
Wow. So what are the goals of an adult bully?
The goal of an adult bully is to really position themselves as more than what they are. And oftentimes in adult bullying conversations, we talk a lot about the bully. I like to actually talk about the people that are experiencing this because many people experience this and think that there's something wrong with them or that they're crazy or like, I just thought this was what it meant to be an adult or to have the big job or to be the senior leader. So ultimately the goal, one of the goals that I know that adult bullies have is that they see a gift and a talent in you and they are telling you who you are. They're just packaging it in a really terrible way. I can see you're like, I can think about it.
Yeah.
So I'll give a personal story of, so I was in a meeting with my boss at the time, and they were having some kind of emotional outburst. I don't really remember what it was because I was very emotionally shut down. But what I remember is when they yelled, "Look at me when I'm talking to you." And I was like, am I getting ready to get punked? Like, it's TV, right? Are the TV cameras coming? This cannot be happening. We cannot be in a professional setting. And no one said anything. No one said anything. And all I could do in the moment was sit and look in the direction of my boss, but like just over their shoulder, like I can't make eye contact. Inside, internally, everything was on fire. I was like, oh my goodness. However, after that, when I stepped away from it and was able to process it, that statement, look at me when I'm talking to you, was and is a pin in my map, like a moment that I won't ever forget because it taught me a lot about who I am and the presence that I have and the power that the presence that I have. So when someone says to you, look at me when I'm talking to you, Sherry, what they're really saying is I need you. I need you to focus on me. Your presence matters. You're giving me something. And what I realized is in that moment, I was in a room with people that really didn't value my gifts and talents. However, that didn't mean that I couldn't go find another room and more people that value my gifts and talents.
Yeah. And I could see myself at different stages in my life and how I would have reacted to something like that. If somebody would have said, I mean, there might have been at some point a reaction in me. I would be like, how dare you talk to me like that? Yeah. I don't care who it was. But then, and then I look at other stages, like even right now, just because I'm a coach, I know the laws of the universe. I know myself.
Yes.
And I know when people behave like that. And so I would have just probably looked at her and I would have said, yes, you know, and listen. But, you know, what also comes to mind too is all these different ways that people are being bullied in the workplace that maybe none of this audience or other people knows about. So let's speak a little bit about that and bring it more out into the open. What are different ways that people are being bullied in the workplace? Mm-hmm. And how do they consider it as bullying or not?
So a blanket way that I like to define adult bullying specifically is that someone sees your gift, they see your talent, and they're using it against you. That is a blanket way to know that you're in an adult bullying situation. And adult bullying is different than children's bullying or what we may see and think about in adolescence, because a lot of times in adolescence, it's physical or it can get physical.
Yeah.
And so that's what we think of. We think about the locker shoving, or we think about, or even in today's society with social media, maybe there's some cyber bullying and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When we're in the workplace physically, or even across a Zoom median or other or virtual settings, what happens is when you're in an adult bullying setting, someone says something and then you start to turtle. And then they say something else or ask a question in a way that's really not a question. It's really like a statement that you're supposed to be like, yes. And internally you're like, but no. And then you turtle.
Or the tone.
Yes. The tone is always a good one. The other way that adult bullying shows up is in this deceiver type of a character or a personality that you may experience in the workplace. So this is the setup. You're partnered to work with someone, or someone says, hey, come be a part of this project or this group. And they come to you because they know you have a gift and a talent. However, they don't give you the full scope of the project. They don't give you all of the details. They really want you to stay in your lane, mm-hmm. right? This is need to know information. All I want you to do is this part. And that's the beginning of adult bullying from a deceiver standpoint. Mm-hmm. They don't give you all the information because they know that if you really had the big picture, you could do more, mm-hmm. and then you would outshine them. And then they make you feel bad when you start asking questions. So any of the listeners out there, if you've ever been on a project, on a team, when yes, everyone has their function, and yet you ask questions to create more scale, more scope, to get clarity, and you're met with frustration, anger, a sense of resentment, then you are in an adult bullying relationship.
Wow. You know, it makes me think of too, I was a child of the 60s and the 70s. And mm-hmm. it was during that time that, you know, I was a questioner. I would always seek to get clarity. And so I was always told, don't ask questions, do as you're told. And, you know, that was a thing of that time. Yeah. And yet here we are now. One of the things I teach that is most important about just existence in general is the quality of questions you ask yourself determines mm-hmm. the quality of life you live.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so it makes me think questions are healthy. Mm-hmm. It's clarifying. And when somebody does stuff like that, the first thing it says to me is jealousy, envy. You know, the person has self-worth issues and low self-concept, and, you know, they don't want somebody else, like you said, to outshine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't. And when they're picking you for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to look at bullying in these situations, and we can focus on the other person. It's hard because we can't change the other person. Mm-hmm. So we have to start to think through, well, they're picking me for a reason. They're doing this to me. They're doing this to you. They're doing it because there is something within us.
Yeah.
And when we start to tap into and really focus on that, it's like, oh, let me start to really pay attention. It's actually like, let them keep coming because they're going to show you exactly who you are, the talent that you have, the gifts that you have in ways that you may not even know. Because let's be honest, when we're really working to high and we're vibing at that high level,
yeah,
it may be just how we show up. Like, I just do this. I'm just really good at it. I didn't realize that I was so good at clarifying what people were saying and synthesizing information. I just did it. I thought, I'm like, that's just what I, that's, don't you hear it that way? People are like, no, I did not pull all that together. I know that's a part of my awesomeness, the gifts and the talents that I have. And people don't do that. And so I learned that from a bully, someone saying to me, can you just stop always trying to just like understand? And I was like, I right? Like, it sounds funny to say, but they were serious and they were upset and frustrated. And in the moment I was confused and like, I don't know how to answer. Is this a question? I remember asking, like, is this a question? And do you want an answer? Because I don't know how to turn this part of me off because this is who I am. And then I realized it was a gift. It's a gift.
So true. You know, because it makes me also think back to a story myself. So I had a bottom in the 90s. I was in the pro bodybuilding industry and, you know, the requirement was perfection.
Yeah.
And so obviously I had a near-death experience. I had a near death and died and went to the other side. And so I came back with all this amazing gifts, this awesomeness and these truths. But I was trying to share it with the world in 1997, and the world was not receptive at that level. And so I was bullied. The pro bodybuilding world created a name for me, and it was Scary Sherry. And so we still had answering machines, and they'd leave messages on my answering machine. Is this Scary Sherry? I just called to leave a message for Scary Sherry. Wow. And, you know, and just like yourself, I believe these experiences are here for us. Mm-hmm. Here for us because, just as you said, it's about when we pull back and realize the outer world is a reflection of what's going on the inside. And when we realize that the inside is where all of our answers exist, it's where our strength exists, it's where our source exists. And when we can, you know, separate ourselves from the appearance of the condition in the outer world and go in. And I always say, tap in, tune in, and turn on to that loving presence that's always been there inside of us. That's where our true gifts come forward. As you mentioned, your awesomeness.
Yeah. It's when you know that you're stepping into it. And it will, for many people, be very strange because many people live their life low in a low vibe. Where they're just like, it's fine, it'll be okay. And I can relate to that because I used to live in the cycle of, I'll make it work, it'll be fine, it'll be okay. I'll make it work, it'll be fine, right? Like just this constant cycle of second guessing what I thought or putting my intuition aside and just being like, sure, like it'll be okay. And then it wasn't okay.
Right.
And the day that I owned it and decided like, oh, this happened to me and this is happening to me and I'm kind of allowing it. I'm allowing it and I'm not going to allow it anymore is the day that I was like, I'm done. Mm. And I'm done. I resigned from the position and many people were like, why? And I said, I can't even really explain it. I just know I'm supposed to go and do something else and that my season here has ended. And that stepping into that power and saying, now I'm going to learn everything that happened. And so I wrote 4.5 pages from my experience. And then I went back into my childhood and realized that this had been a pattern. Mm-hmm. Like I had been bullied in different ways. And all of this, the bullies were saying the same things. Roshana, stop standing out. Like you stand out and we don't like it. Stop speaking up. You speak up and we don't like it. Your mind, it's weird and it thinks differently and sees differently and we don't like it. And now I'm like, those three things right there, that's my awesomeness.
Girl, you're speaking my language, sister, because that's exactly the story of my own life. Mm-hmm. And it's the same pattern. And it was always somebody telling me that there was something wrong with me. And it was always because, like you, as I was outshining. And I am very silly and playful, very over the top. Yeah. And when I would play like that, people would always say, oh, you're too loud, or you laugh too loud, or you sneeze too loud, or you're too plain and silly. And then people would say to me, you can't do something. You mm-hmm. can't do something, you know? And so what I started to do was to listen for a season. And then when I, you know, like I said, when I had my near-death experience, what happened was, is my life was changed forever. And I was shown a loving God. And it was from that experience that I was willing to go through the things that I had to go through. I mean, I walked homeless on the streets, my friend. I ended up going through tremendous adversity. But at the same time, same thing as yourself. I discovered myself and I stepped away from the world for a while. But boy, did I have something to offer, you know, from just the value that I learned from going inside.
From going inside to tap into the awesome, like awesomeness came to me. So being the trademark that I have, giver of awesomeness, that was given to me. I didn't pick that. I was sitting at my desk, looking at my LinkedIn profile going, okay, I have to pick a title. Like they want me, like, you know, you're filling it out. I'm like, I don't know who I'm supposed to be. Like, what am I supposed to do? And I was like, okay, God, you got to tell me. And I just sat back, closed my eyes, and all of these people's voices came. And then it was like, giver of awesomeness. And then a little voice said, trademark that. And I did. And I trademarked it and then didn't do anything with it for like almost 2 years. And then as I healed myself and my stuff,
yep.
Then I was in a position where I could help heal and help others.
Boy, is that true? Because it's the same thing. It's like, yeah. It kind of takes me back to that whole, that concept of Jesus. What did he do? He met people right where they were at. And so it's the same thing with you and I. It's from going through those experiences and taking the willingness to look inside. And then when we came back out into the world, we're able to meet people right where they're at. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right where they are, with no shame, with no guilt, with, I like to say it, holding space, like just, I can hold space for you to be in that ugly place, in that dark place, in that secret place, that hiding place. I know it because I know it well. I know it personally. I remember being scared and sick to my stomach to drive to work and circling the parking lot, looking for the car. I remember feeling like, you know what, if I don't have to do this anymore, I'll just hide. I'll just pretend like I don't exist in meetings and I won't say anything, you know? And then I also remember times when I was younger, when I thought about ending it, when I wrote a letter to my parents, listened to Mariah Carey's Hero song from back in the day and cried my eyes out because I just wasn't sure what my next step was. And so the thoughts of suicide, of ending it, of wondering, like, can I go on? Those are real. And they still come up. Now I know they're coming because it's like, oh, you're getting ready to do something big. Just stay the course.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to that, I mean, just bringing up the idea of suicide. I mean, what kind of percentages are people committing suicide, you know, from adult bullying?
So they don't have a full correlation of data around like it was exactly because of that. What we know, though, is that over 50% of employees that say that they have experienced bullying in the workplace do end up having anxiety and stress related either sicknesses or disorders.
Wow, I could totally see that. Do you think that adults, you know, who are bullies were bullies as children?
Yes and no. So I think bullies are both made and actually, depending on the organization, they are rewarded. Mm. So in performance management, so my background, when I worked in human resources, I also have an engineering background. So I'm a systems thinker. So when we build systems that reward based on performance, and the performance is one of, there can only be one or two that get the raise or the promotion, then you put in place competition. And competition, when it's healthy, is good.
Yeah.
However, it also creates a scarcity mindset. And when there's a scarcity mindset, what happens is people go into survival mode. Mm-hmm. And survival mode means either you eat or I eat. And so I'm going to make sure that at the end of the day, I eat.
Oh yeah. And I mean, that goes back to, I love where I'm at in my life, and I can tell you're in the same place, and it's in that space of fully knowing that all of our needs are always met. Yeah. And that has to do with what's going on in the belief in the inside of ourselves. And when we get up into that competition mindset, that's a belief in separation. That's a belief in that we're lacking from something when everything we need is always here.
Yeah. And there's more than one W to go around. Mm-hmm. We are taught that there's a winner and there's a loser.
Right.
And right. And like, that's it. That's in life. That's really not true. There are many W's, many wins, and we get to decide what the win is.
That's right.
And we can define it. Your win and my win may look different, and we can both have wins, and we can support each other and celebrate each other's wins.
Yeah, absolutely. What kind of bullying laws are set up for adults in the workforce?
So bullying is under the harassment clauses and the laws. However, because many people don't report it, or because it is sometimes a part of culture, that it doesn't get as reported as much. And so what happens is the culture starts to talk about adult bullying like, well, you know, that's how they are. Or they had a bad day. And so rather than it being an actual topic, a discussion, laws that are actually bullies, and they talk about it, it falls under harassment. Mm. And because harassment is a big blanket, and sexual harassment is usually pulled out, that's the one that's egregious, people know about it. The other forms tend to be swept under the rug. Or as I said before, many people, they don't report it, they just leave. And the more talented a person is, the less they report it, the more they are likely to exit and take their skills elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, I mean, just I have so many questions around this. So obviously it's becoming more, you know, people are becoming more aware of it in human resources. Are they creating workshops or programs or anything that are helping or teaching people in the workforce how to deal with bullying?
It's starting. I mean, I think the political landscape in the United States over the last year brought that to attention. A lot of conversations right now are really wrapped around diversity, equity, and inclusion, where bullying can show up as well. It is in that understanding around the safe places and spaces that need to exist. There isn't that I've seen. I work with organizations and we talk about workplace bullying, and that's one piece. Are there big programs that are out there besides the work that I do with companies? I haven't seen it.
Mm. That's so sad to hear, because, you know, it's almost like you said it. I mean, it's almost like they're brushing it under the rug, mm-hmm. and ignoring that it's actually going on, or even considering that it may be going on. And you know what? Here's what we're going to do now. We're going to create some systems now to address it, so that people are aware of what steps to take. Cause that's really what my next question is that, you know, what steps do you take? Should people document what's going on?
Absolutely. So you want to document. So if it's happening to you, I'm actually going to give it to you from two different lenses.
Yeah, please.
So if you're a person that is being bullied, document it. When you come out of the incident, go ahead and take it, put it on your phone. You can do a voice. This just happened to me. This is the date. This is the time. This is what happened. This is who was there, who was present, who witnessed it. If you're a writer, type it all out. However you need to, get it out and get it out quickly so that you can capture it. And so you can start to see the pattern and you have it as documentation. You want it not only for the escalation, because bullying, adult bullying escalates. It can start out in private one-on-one meetings behind closed doors and small group, and then it escalates over time to become more public. And sometimes it becomes more accepted, because if we're in a meeting, Sherry, and our boss is bullying me, your unconscious mind doesn't know the difference between you and me. So you're getting bullied too.
Yeah.
You're just going internal. And a little bit of like, I'm so glad it's Roshana and not me. I feel for Roshana, but I can't, it's not safe. Mm-hmm. And so everyone gets shut down. So when it's happening to you, you want to document it and have the witnesses so that when you have to report it or when there's a need to report it, or even when you exit, you have your story because no one can tell your story but you.
Gosh, and just hearing you say that makes me think, okay, so if unconsciously it's happening to me as well, how do you cope with a toxic bully? I mean, because now it could be the whole environment of, you know, the room too.
It could be the whole room. So what we know is that performance over time and productivity goes down about 25% every single time there is a bullying incident. It's like a file cabinet that opens up in the brain, and everyone, whether it's happening directly or indirectly, is experiencing the bullying. And then they go, it's not safe. And then what that translates into is, okay, now let's talk about innovation. Ready? Innovation. Let's be creative. And everybody goes, I'm not saying anything. It's not safe. And then people wonder, leaders wonder, why can't we innovate? Why did we go through this whole process and we ended up back doing exactly the same thing? It's because the undercurrent in the unconscious mind is like, we need to land on the same thing that we did before because that's safe and we know it.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you get away from, I mean, this sort of situation besides just leaving? The thought keeps coming to my mind. How do you get away from the bully?
So there's a couple. So you have to be willing to come and have your voice to talk to the bully because sometimes they're not aware. Sometimes, and you talked about it, depending on the generation under which a leader was groomed, bullying was the way to lead, be a manager. You better show them that you're the boss and that you're in control. And that behavior is rewarded.
Masculine energy,
or even, so we have male bullies, we have female bullies. I like to call it the wow factor. We have the woman on woman crimes that happen in the workplace. So there's the black on black crimes that happen in the workplace. There's a lot of different ways in which this shows up. And it's I haven't seen and experienced even in the data where we can't find evidence of it across as many different sectors and the way you slice the data, it exists. So that's why we have to be willing to have a conversation first to make someone aware. And then once you've made them aware, you look at their behavior. And if they don't change their behavior, then they're giving you information. This is who they are and this is who they're choosing to be. Then you have to decide, am I going to report it? And is it safe to report it? The last time I looked at data, about 65% of employees said that they didn't actually trust their HR department. So there are many people to the point around why people leave. They leave because they don't have trust in the HR department that they're actually going to handle it or that there isn't going to be retaliation, even though we know that under the harassment laws, there shouldn't be retaliation. But that doesn't always happen. And so we have to keep talking about it. I do also want to circle back because I want to address for those that find themselves going, oh, maybe I'm the bully or like the boss is the bully.
Yeah.
So in that instance, you still have to document it. And if you're a leader going, oh my goodness, I think I do this. I think I have people that I pick on or that I minimize or that I do. I just tell them to stay in their lane and this is information only and that's how we run things. Then you have to start to go internal and ask yourself, what do you get out of having the positional authority? Because that's what you're resting on. I have the positional power. And usually when I work with clients one-on-one that find themselves, oh, Roshana, I'm a bully and I don't know why, is underneath the positional power is fear of being found out in some way. They tend to have more imposter syndrome. They tend to be less, they've achieved less in other areas of their life, or they have issues outside of their work in terms of private life issues, et cetera. And so they're using work to mask all the frustration that they're feeling in other places.
Yeah.
And then they become a bully.
Well, it makes me think of too, you know, because everything's energy. Absolutely. And so people fill their cup So that's their form of filling their cup is through, you know, bullying or trying to, you know, hold power, or like you said, imposter syndrome, because that is what causes them to feel worthy or deserving or in power, and by stealing other people's energy.
Right. Well, energy is just simply exchanged. It's never lost. Yeah. And so even if someone is like, oh, well, I'm just down and sad, then they're just going to go get a high from somebody else. Yep. They're going to see you walking in your light, giving your gifts, being awesome. And then they're going to come for you.
Yeah.
And most people go, oh no, they came for me. Don't do that again. Don't be like that. And what I'm saying is be more like that. Bring more of that awesomeness out there. That's how you win, is that you may decide, okay, well, I can't be awesome in this room, so I'm going to go find another room. You may decide, I can't be awesome with these people, I'm going to go find some other people. How you win long-term and have the sustainability and the growth that many want to see, and that inner light and happiness, is to say, this is who I am, this is me, and I'm going to go give this to the places and spaces that value it.
Yeah, such a good point, because, you know, I work with one of the most well-known neuroscientists in the world. And so we talk about the vibration that occurs in the heart space, actually vibrating, you know, 4,000 neurites more powerful than the brain and the gut or in the head. Yeah. And so it's all really about sustainability, and it's holding that higher feeling, that higher vibration, that higher value of yourself. And most people are so conditioned in the lower vibrations, like somebody else has power over me, and even organizational development. And I got to go through the process of, you know, who's got the power. And so what happens is that we try to step up to the next level. Like, you know, if you're in blame or judgment, can you go up to the next level? Yeah. But the struggle is in people sustaining it. And so what you brought up around that is very powerful.
Yeah. It's the understanding that as you go up, you do have to cut cords and cut ties, because that heaviness will pull you back down. And there'll be a sense of that you're doing something wrong, when really who you're called to be, how you're made, how you were birthed into this world, is to be the love and the light. And some people's love and light shows up in big personality. Some of it is strategic thinking. Some of it is problem solving, operations, whatever your gifting is and your talent is. If you've been bullied for it, if somebody has said, I wish you were just a little less, and fill in the blank of whatever it is, that's your awesomeness. And that's what you need to go do more of.
Yeah. I mean, so what do you think? Do you think that when people are in the workforce, and like the example you used earlier, where, you know, you might be in a room and somebody is bullying you and the person next to you is being bullied as well, do you think that people should band together?
Absolutely. Coalition is everything. What happens is the coalition starts before the meeting. We see it now. You see it. People have meetings before the meetings. That is a sign that there is a preparation that's happening to either position an idea, put it on the table. And so I'm going to say it, and then you're going to amen it in some way, and we're going to get it to move forward. Or there's the coalition that happens after the meeting, water cooler talk, or everybody leaves and goes to lunch or goes for coffee to debrief the meeting. Those are the times when we're vulnerable, and when leadership really shows up, and not from a title standpoint, but actually internal leadership, people say, that wasn't good. And the next time that happens, I'm going to say something. I worked with a group, and we would use our pens. And when everybody put their pen down, we would shut the meeting down. Like, when things weren't going well, we would just, okay. And slowly you would see people start to recognize all the pens are down. And then that was the sign for the senior most person at the time, I was second under, that they would wrap it up.
That's good. That's really good. Because it goes back to that old adage, where two or more are gathered in belief, in power, and you can move mountains.
You can move mountains. And our voices, when we bring voice to something that is happening, that's when we unlock the power. The confusion stops, and there's a focus moment where everyone has to change, or at least take a minute to pause and choose. It's like a pattern disrupt. Because just like you were talking about in the, with the neuroscience and that vibration, people prepare for meetings well before the meeting or prepare for the situation. And then the dance starts. The unconscious mind really takes over and says, well, they're going to say this and they're going to say this and you're going to sit here. And then when they get to a point and it gets uncomfortable, check your phone and check out. Like, no, we want to be able to really go, wait, I want to hear this. I want to slow it down. Think about it like the Matrix. Like, these words are coming in fast and hot and furious and they're like darts and they're piercing. You can get to a place where you can slow them down and say, oh, that was an insult. Oh, they're telling me something. I need to pay attention. And then you can use this powerful mind that we have that we're still unlocking to go, oh, they're really telling me something here. And I can use it for good.
Build new neural pathways.
Build new neural pathways.
Yeah. And I mean, so what do you think? You think we should feel sorry for bullies?
I think there's an empathy that has to be given to a bully. However, that empathy can't get to a place where then there's the, well, I won't say anything because I don't want to hurt them, because ultimately their actions have led them down the path that they're on. And sometimes that action is, and that path leads to corrective action in the workplace. It leads to talent leaving. It leads to money loss. And that's the actions that they're choosing.
Do you think that once a bully, always a bully?
No, absolutely not. Bullies can heal. Bullies need healing. Everybody needs healing. So whether you are the, whether you're being bullied or you are the bully, healing is what creates the new ways to see the world around you.
So true. You know, and I love so many of the things that you've been talking about, like cutting the cords. I mean, I do NLP. And so one of the things that I feel like is so powerful is to really become the observer of the subconscious mind. I recognize, you know, what's the conversation that's going on, the self-talk in the head, the fear in the head, the dialogue. And then whoever it is that is, you know, whether it be a bully or what have you, I just let them come up front on a stage. And I'm sitting on the front row in the auditorium and they come on the stage and I can feel the cord, you know, connected to them at the top of their head. And then I watch them blow up in the air like a balloon. And now they're hanging up in the air. Cut the cord.
Let them, and then let them float off and be done.
Float off. Cut that cord, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's also a sense of gratitude that helps with that. Because ultimately, anyone that you encounter in your life, whether they bring you a gift that is wrapped and it's beautiful and it's laced with all of the amazing accolades of who you are, or whether it's wrapped really terrible in the, oh, who do you think you are, and all of that, it's still a gift. Yeah. And you can still use that gift to help you unlock more of who you are.
So true. So let's talk about your coaching and what you do and how you help your clients through prevention or, you know, their awesomeness. Tell us all about that.
Yeah. So the coaching work that I do is primarily for people that are in ministry, healthcare, and education, three places where many people pour out and experience a lot of trauma because they're holding space for others and then they don't ever take care of themselves. And so the work that I do practice NLP as well as conscious coaching and cognitive coaching. And I help them work through what's holding them back, either in their career progression, or for many, they have other dreams and aspirations. They want to own their own business. They want to start a nonprofit. And there's these voices, we know them as other people and other negative experiences that have been holding them back.
And what do you find primarily in, you know, in you're working with your clients? Is it a lack of clarity, you think? Clarity of vision?
It's first a lack of confidence in who they really are, which then creates the lack of clarity. So they come to me presenting with a problem that is, I currently can't do this, fill in the blank. I'm not able to get my life together. My career hasn't progressed. I want to start a business and I've started three and none of them have really been successful, but I want to start another one, that kind of thing. And really that then that undercurrent is in a lack of confidence based on what someone else told them they could or couldn't do at some point in their life. And so then they've worked their way up a ladder in one of these fields and they've gotten to a high place. So they're primarily managers, directors, executive directors, and now it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
All the success, all the things that they were told, if you get the job, you have the money, you get all these things. And now they're like, and I still don't feel happy. I don't feel whole. I don't feel like I'm stepping into my purpose. And I'm second guessing myself. And that's what I work with them on, is to get rid of all of that, build their confidence, get clear, and get the tools that they need.
Do you find that a lot of those people who have been high achievers and stuff like that, that they kind of like, when we go through this process of coaching and then really take them to the basics, that they rationalize the whole situation, or they're closed off to the situation, or at first you kind of have to really work with them and find out where they're at to be able to move them through a process?
So yeah, a lot of them want to hijack their brain with the conscious to make it like, well, I have to have understanding. And I'm like, well, your body and your mind is holding all of this, and you don't get to decide how it got to categorize it. It just did. And so we've got to work through that. I also find that the clients that come to me are ready to do the work. They really want a safe place to be vulnerable. Because, and again, they're high level leaders, or they've ascended to a place to where they have either other people that work directly for them or indirectly for them. And so being vulnerable is something they're not really used to. Like, if I tell you everything that I'm really thinking and feeling, are you going to judge it? Mm-hmm. And so it's a muscle that they haven't used.
Right.
And so that's a part, that's really, I would say, my first two sessions with people, is breaking down all the walls that they've built around themselves to be able to even climb the ladder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really agree. I think that the breakthrough process should be first.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. And because a lot of people want to go directly into the dream and the vision, and they don't realize that there's all these limiting beliefs, these subconscious, I mean, what's a subconscious, you know, limiting belief. It's something that you've thought over and over and over and owned and given power to and energy for. And a lot of people, I mean, you said it earlier, mm-hmm. My thing is ready. I do a strategy session with people to address where they're at. Are they ready to do the work? Because a lot of people, mm-hmm. They say they're ready, but when it comes to doing the necessary steps, you know, it starts to demonstrate where they're not ready.
Absolutely. And I was laughing when you started, because I just had a conversation last week with someone. So someone referred me to them, and they got on and they have a book, and they're like, I just need help getting on stage. I just need help so that I can talk about my book. And so we started, and I was asking questions and digging into their background and getting some understanding. And they have a lot of other things that have happened in their life. And they're like, but no, I don't want to deal with any of it. Like, I've healed from that. I just want you to help me get on a stage so that I can speak. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we can't work together, because ultimately I don't believe in doing that. Like, I could take your money and like teach you how to speak and be a speaker, right. Yet you're not going to do it. Because the limiting belief, it's like bricks on your feet. It's holding you down.
Yeah.
And so when I talk to people, especially those that come and they say, I want to get to another role, or they say, I want to start a business, I say, well, first, we got to heal your stuff, because there's no need in you getting to the next level having your trauma, because then you're just going to be a hurt person hurting others in a business or in an organization. Or if you're going to start your own business and you haven't healed your trauma, you are going to fail. And then there's going to be a part of you that's going to be like, well, I told you I couldn't do it, right? Because that's out there. When the truth is that's just a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lie we've been telling ourselves over and over. What do you think? I mean, what are your thoughts? I love this question, because it really kind of brings it right back to the importance of right now. What do you think about living in the now, living in the present, and teaching people to build that muscle from awareness in only today?
Only today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I call it the trap with the, it's a trap of the enemy that gets us to get our minds further than our feet are. Mm. That's how I talk about it. It's that sense of where you are right now, where your feet are, that's where they are. I'm planted with you and our audience right now. That's what I'm focused on. And then after that, I'll go do the other things. I think there's a salad waiting for me, right? Like all of these things. But when we get further than our feet are, it creates a trap because we don't know what those next steps are going to be. We have really no idea. The future that's waiting for us is equally as great as it is terrible. And we get to decide which one we're going to walk towards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's powerful because I, you know, I'm a firm believer that the now is all there is. Nothing else exists, and that we can go in our memory to the past and we can go into the daydream of the future. But the now is where that, where our point of power, where our point of attraction exists.
Yeah.
And so when we can build that muscle of attaching and aligning with joy, attaching and aligning with love, we're emitting a frequency, a vibration, mm-hmm. and giving that out. And what we give, we receive. So we're pulling back more of what we are from that space.
Yeah.
So, you know, for myself, it's like anything else. It's making that commitment. And then how can you change it? The only way you can change it is through awareness. And it's in awareness that you have the power, because it's recognizing when a mirror of an experience shows up in front of you that you have the choice. You have volition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that moment, you can stop your mind from going further than it needs to, and you can stay right where you are. And if there's something that comes up and it takes you back, go back and heal that. Mm-hmm. And for listeners out there that need help and support, that's why we're here. That's why we do the work that we do. It's because some people really need help in making that transformation or healing it. And there's techniques that have to happen. There is full healing that has to happen. And it's okay to fight for your healing. So last week, I started the week with this. It was like maybe it's going to be a month or two. I don't know, but it just keeps coming up. This selfish pursuit of joy and having a selfish pursuit of this joy because oftentimes we give the joy away. Like we allow it to be taken. We give away. And so it's okay to be selfish with like, I'm pursuing joy today. I'm not sure what you're pursuing. If you're with me, come on. And if not, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be selfish about it, because when we have joy and our cups are full, joy, love, I like to add in gratitude, we're able to then do more. It's like exponential in terms of what you're able to accomplish.
Yeah, I agree. My God, this has been such an amazing conversation. Yeah. Go ahead and share with the audience anything else that you want to share with them. What you want, what message do you want to bring forward about who you are and what you're about with this bullying and everything that you do? What's one of the last things you want to share with the audience today?
What I want to share is that the bullies come as a gift. And so for anyone that is personally experiencing it, or if you sit with someone and they're in the midst of it, you can help them know that what's happening is a gift and that they can and do have the power to unwrap that gift and get to the light that's inside.
Gosh, so beautiful. So go ahead and I'm going to put your website up here on the screen. Go ahead and speak it for the podcast as well to the audience.
Yes, you can find me at www.rashaunaprice.com. That's RAUSHAWNAPrice.com.
And then you had another one that you gave me. Is this one you want to share as well?
Yes. So this is for my corporate listeners that are ready to have conversations and get bookings to have trainings, group coaching, and individual coaching for your leaders. Go to www.eriesuccess.com. That's E-Y-R-I-E success.com.
And where did that name come from?
So Erie is where eagles build their nest. And so as I was doing this work and looking at leaders, ultimately real leaders that aren't looking at their title, but that are leading from a place of inner strength, they're hard to find. Mm. Mm-hmm. And just like an eagle's nest is hard to find. And so in my organization, we help people soar and really launch off of that cliff to the good things.
That's beautiful. Gosh, thank you so much, Rashana. This has just been an amazing conversation. And I'm so grateful to have had you on the show.
Thank you, Sherry, for having me. I appreciate it. This has been great.
Awesome. And I want to thank each and every one of my audience members, as always, for your weekly support, for your comments, for your hellos. I mean, my gosh, as always, we've had Harley and Larry Schneider and our good friend Scott Rickard and Karen Hargraves. And of course, Mr. Arshad Khan. Thank you all, as always, for just being high vibe supporters. I love you, and I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. For those of you who are listening, if you want to find me on the website, you can find me at thehighvibenation.com, on Instagram at thehighvibenation, and on Facebook at the High Vibe Nation. And so until next Wednesday at 5:00 p.m. No, it's Mountain Standard Time still, because Arizona doesn't recognize daylight savings time. So just a couple more weeks and Arizona will be back on Pacific Standard Time. Right now it's 5:00 Mountain Standard Time on Wednesday evenings. Until then, please create an amazing, beautiful rest of the week. Have a great night. Bye-bye now.
From everybody here at the High Vibe Nation, we want to say thank you for choosing to raise your vibration. And of course, please like, share, and subscribe. If you need to find us on the web, check us out at www.thehighvibe.com.